Nitin, we talked a lot about geopolitics in the first couple of hours, so let's talk a little bit about strategies here in the markets. We've had, you know, a lot of equity markets have run pretty strongly to the upside. So if you're looking to just buy the index, maybe you're a little skittish. So let's talk about some ideas. You know, we had two CEO interviews here at Bloomberg on Thursday and Friday, Tektronix on Thursday, Samsonite on Friday. These companies have been unloved of late. Boy, earnings were good. The stocks popped. Tektronix up 7% on Thursday. Samsonite up 9% on Friday. What's the key? Do we look for companies that are unloved, maybe high short interest, and just jump on them?
Yeah, I think that's a pretty good strategy to look at. There's, like you said, there's a lot of good companies that have not been looked at. I wouldn't say necessarily sold off, but they haven't been looked at. When you've got a lot of companies that probably don't justify the levels that they're at as well, they've just been bought up. So I think you'll start seeing some rotation come in now. We've had a good run. We're starting to get towards the end of first quarter. People start looking at books, they'll start rotating, and they'll start repositioning for the next quarter and looking forward from there. So it's not a bad strategy at all.
Or do I buy the index? I'm going to play devil's advocate here because we are ending the first quarter, and you would expect some funds to start window dressing.
There will be window dressing, but you know we're talking about a short-term move there if you want to play the index. So, I mean, I think it always is the case that if you can follow the rotation and see as people move from one sector to another, you'll probably be better off. You can still get ETFs that are focused on certain sectors. You don't necessarily have to pick a certain stock, but there is rotation going on, and I think you can start seeing that see that going forward for the next quarter.
You mentioned Vietnam is still one of your one of the top picks, I guess, if frontier markets is really where you want to be. Before we move into the nuts and bolts of where you want to be within those markets, I'm sure most of our conservative listeners are a bit curious on this. How do you deal with currency exposure? Is it just one of those things that sort of cost of doing business when you trade these kinds of assets?
If you actually look at the government, they do control the currency, but they're...
Right.
They're actually keeping it relatively stable. I mean, if they're depreciating it, they're depreciating it by a percent of time. They're not actually, you're not seeing big falls or big declines like you are seeing in other currencies. It's interesting, everyone keeps talking about the currencies in relation to Asia, whether it be China, Vietnam and all that. But if you look at the euro, you look at the yen, you look at all the major, look at the pound after Brexit, these currencies have big falls overnight. Right. So,
but you see that coming. You don't see the one-offs that you get in frontier markets is what I'm trying to get at here.
Well, I mean, I think you can see it coming because especially in a place like Vietnam where it is controlled, the government will only adjust that currency if it starts to feel that it's uncompetitive against the rest of its peers. So if China starts devaluing in a big way, you can be sure that Vietnam will follow suit because, you know, one of its competition is manufacturing and China's a big play of that. So it's probably a little bit more visible in places like this because of the fact it's controlled rather than, you know, a lot of people didn't expect Brexit to happen. So suddenly you get Brexit and you got a 20% fall. Now, if you remember the pound move just on that, it moved from 140 up to 150 against the dollar. And then on the Brexit move, it was down to 130.
Right.
And that was in a 24 to 36 hour span. So that's a big move in comparison to what you can see.
So you're comfortable in Vietnam. You've mentioned that quite a bit as your favorite frontier market. Now, you weren't very positive on China the last time you were here. You were positive on Hong Kong. But I'm just looking at this reflation notion. So we had South Korean producer prices up 4.2% the previous month. This is the best and highest levels we've seen since 2011. China's producer prices jumping up. That should be very good for corporate earnings. So are you starting to rethink China a little bit? And what about South Korea?
My worry with China is you had the move in the commodities. You've got, as you said, PPI was up about 7% over the last span. So it's had, to me, if you look at the actual movement in the commodity prices, I think it's happened there. Now, if you want to play China, I think you start going back into consumers. You know, where I talk about unloved sectors, the consumer play is actually being quite unloved in the last few months. And I think you'll start seeing the rotation back into that. But if you look at the overall market, I just, you know, I don't see the upward momentum there yet. In terms of South Korea, it's a little bit of a different story. That's, you know, that had been beating up for quite a while, and you're starting to see that bounce back a little bit. My one worry with South Korea is North Korea. And there's the X factor. We don't really know what's going to happen with the North, whether they do go crazy or not. And that's always a fear that hangs over South Korea from my point of view.
Southeast Asia, apart from Vietnam, obviously, say the ASEAN five, the Philippines, the Thailand, the Indonesia. Is there anything there that really just catches your eye? Is it something that...
Philippines interests me a lot, actually. I find it, you know, I find the dictatorial aspect of Duterte really quite fascinating. But what fascinates me even more is the approval ratings and the popularity and the fact that the economy is actually turning around and booming on that. So Philippines is a market I do look at a lot and think that that's a market that people can play going forward. Indonesia is okay. Thailand, I'm not, you know, overly positive on, to be fair, even though, you know, it is looking better. I still think tourism's down a bit, and that's a big, you know, it's a big tourism play over there. So, yeah.
Do you target young people in some of these markets, like Vietnam, or beer and telecoms and things like that, or what?
Yeah, very much so. I mean, I think Vietnam in particular is, you know, you look at that demographic, and it is a young demographic. So you've got to look at in that area, you've got to look a lot at consumers, beer companies, retail, Vina Milk, all of that kind of stuff. They all look pretty. That's the area where you do want to focus, because that's going to be the play that goes forward.